Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Harrison Tanner Barron of Growth Generators, and today we are discussing marketing on LinkedIn. Harrison has been a small business owner for 4 years and has worked with small business owners for the last 12 years. He has built an impressive following through various media outlets and wants to share his expertise with any entrepreneur who needs help. His passions have led him to want to encourage others to pursue their passions as well. And he is well-versed in social media platforms such as podcasting, YouTube, and so much more. So Harrison also has his own podcast called Brutally Honest. So definitely check that out. Thanks so much for joining us today, Harrison.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from?
Sure. So sunny North Carolina. I know people are about to expect Florida.
That's awesome. We got so much snow last night here in Canada, so I'm super
jealous. Oh my God. Yeah. No, that's actually, so I'm originally from Long Island. About a year ago now, we moved to North Carolina, and it was so great. It was like, you know, like when the baristas at Starbucks, like they do like that little tap of cinnamon on your drink. That was all the snow we got for the whole year. And I was like, this is amazing.
I'm so jealous.
It was like cold for like 2 weeks. And I was like, I love this year.
That's amazing. Oh yeah. That's awesome. And then, so what would you say really motivates or inspires you?
Yeah. So I think what really motivates and inspires me is definitely doing the right thing, as crazy as that sounds. I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there about either marketing or just really everything in general. And I'm just trying to go against the grain and really just provide great information for business owners and even people that just want to start their own business by just taking the bull by the horns and really trying to provide the best value possible for people.
Yeah. So you're just generally really passionate about what you do and you just want to help people.
Yeah. And I love giving away free knowledge. Not a shameless plug for my YouTube channel, but there's so many YouTubers out there, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. There are so many that do a great job at teaching really good information, giving behind the curtain secrets. And then there's other people that are just there specifically to sell you products that don't work. And that is the people I can't stand.
Yeah. And what is your YouTube channel?
The Millennial Entrepreneur, Harrison Barron.
Okay. Very cool. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah. So it goes actually a lot with ethics. I worked for a IT company for about 3 years, started out as an unpaid intern. And
okay.
I was going to school for computer programming at the time. I was getting pretty good at it. A guy in my fire department, his cousin actually owned the firm, and I applied to so many companies. And I never realized, as I got older, started getting out of college and really getting my feet wet in the real world, I never realized like why nobody really brought on programming interns. And I realized because it's so crazy expensive, because you're asking a programmer who may make $50 to $250 an hour to deal with this fetus of a human who just got their feet wet from going to college. So that was, I started understanding it, and now I really, really get it. But it was at the funny time, I'm like, I just don't understand. I'm like, I have great credentials. I have a great resume. Everything. I was like, I'm doing everything right. Why is not a single person calling me back? So they offered to give me a role at the IT company. I ended up going from tech to a well-paid tech to a salesperson and then to an executive in the company. And I 2X the company about 3 years. So that was really, really cool. I ended up getting into sales, and then somebody that I was referring a lot of business to, I ended up going in their office and I saw that their entire whiteboard was all of my clients that I had given them, which is fine. I was fine with that. It was a digital marketing agency. Yeah. And then I started seeing like all these other charts on there, and I'm like, oh, like who are all these people? I'm like, I know who these people are. They're all like divorce attorneys on Long Island in a small area. And I'm like, these guys are all like within 5 miles of each other. Like, how are you guys? Are you guys running ads for all of them? They're like, oh yeah, we do. And I was like, how are you guys running ads for five people in the same industry in the same area? And that was really like the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like, this is very unethical. And I go, you know what? I bet you I can go do a better job than these guys. And at the time I had the podcast and I had built mm-hmm. websites, and people were asking me to build websites and started running a social media and all that good stuff. So the stars just kind of aligned. I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I better do this now.
Okay. Oh, that's so interesting. And then, okay. Yeah. So tell us more about Growth Generators. So it's something that you just slowly started on the side, and then you really got that motivation to just go out on it. So tell us more about it.
So yeah, basically, so originally called Baron Media Group. Now we're Growth Generators. We did a rebranding earlier this year, and rebranding is a torturous process. So if you can get the name right on the first try, go do it, please.
I can relate.
It's just so much easier.
Yeah.
So what had happened was people had started contacting me about websites, and I really wasn't like advertising any like services, but people were like, hey, you know, it's probably cheaper to go with you if you're willing to work on your free time. And I was in sales, I was making decent money. So I was like, you know what, let me just go learn. And I had understood computer programming. So I understood algorithms and how mathematical equations work. And really, like, I didn't realize that the stars were aligning for me to go take this leap of faith. And then I said, you know what, what are my first initial services going to be? Because I can't rely on, you know, at this point, I didn't even know what SEO was, and I didn't have any money for ads. So I was like, all right, we gotta figure this thing out. So I said, you know what, let's go start with social media. I'll be the best social media guy on Long Island. And I'll be the only person that goes out on site, goes and gets pictures and photos, and actually goes and interacts with your business to grab like real content. Right. And that's what we started with. And then I jumped ship. My buddy John, shout out to him, who owns a online watch retailer called Watch Gauge. He was like, hey, if you need a place to stay, like come hang out at my warehouse. We'll build you an office and stuff like that. So I literally would leave work, go swing a hammer for 2-3 hours, and then physically built my office inside of a warehouse. And then I told my boss, and he was like, thanks so much, appreciate it. 2 days later, they escorted me out of the building, and I went and started my digital marketing agency.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And then, so how do you guys, you know, really set yourselves apart from other agencies?
Yeah, so we take serious pride in our SEO abilities. There's a lot of ads gurus out there, and I'm not saying ads are a bad thing, but I got a really bad taste in my mouth about a year in from ads, and nothing that I did wrong, but I was in a Facebook group and with a bunch of really successful entrepreneurs, a lot of people that I looked up to and I'd spoken to either on a regular basis, or they were just really active in the group that I felt connected to them. Yeah. And every once in a while, probably like once a month, somebody's 6-7 figure business, some of them even 8 figures, went from 8 figures to zero overnight because Facebook, or mainly Facebook, just shut them down completely and banned them for no reason, would not allow them to start another account with whatever email they were using or anything like that. And I was like, wow, this is terrifying. Imagine building this beautiful business. You have all of the employees, and one morning you wake up and your business has done no sales, right? You have hundreds of thousands of dollars in products, right? If God forbid you actually own products. And I was like, wow, this is such an unhealthy way to rely on one of these major platforms. Yeah. So I was learning about SEO, and that was really when I said, you know what, we'll be a full-blown SEO agency and then offer ad services than offer ad services and then, you know, work on building SEO. So that's really, we take really, really good pride in our SEO. We're starting to rank for a lot of stuff. We were killing it right before the rebrand. Rebranding, like I said, is a painful process. But it is really, really cool. I genuinely love figuring out algorithms and, you know, how to just, you know, just turn the dial ever so much that makes an impression on Google.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I love that. So you do offer ads. You're just kind of not putting all your eggs in one basket. Your main focus is SEO.
After seeing everybody like lose their businesses, and the crazy part is like, you know, what would you do as a business owner? You'd freak out first, right? I would do the exact same and be like, oh my God, my business that I was supposed to make $100,000 today has not made any money, right?
Yeah.
So it's the initial freak out, and then it's, okay, let's calm, cool, and collected. Let's go figure out what's wrong. And all of these people, for whatever reason, like, and none of these people were doing anything like wrong. That's the crazy part. Like, none of them were doing shady marketing tactics. They literally shared everything they were doing. Mm-hmm. They would go to appeal it to Facebook, and Facebook just would not answer. Like, that to me is the craziest thing ever, to have some other entity, complete other entity, control your entire fate. And that was when I was like, you know what? SEO and organic marketing is going to be the best way I can hit more platforms. Even if Google shuts us down, we're still on Bing, we're still on Yahoo, we're still on, you know, whatever other channels that people actually use. I mean, I know it's really Google and Bing at this point, but YouTube, anything else like that. And why would they wouldn't ban us from being online. They're just going to ban an ad platform. If people want to find your content organically because it's helpful, then it'll last forever, essentially.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a great plan. So let's delve into our topic now. So I'm really excited to be talking about marketing on LinkedIn today. So why is LinkedIn the best platform to target your ideal customer?
So I think there's never been another platform out there, especially in recent history, that you could get the results from a platform such as LinkedIn. So what do I mean by that? Like, even on Facebook or Instagram, the CEO of a company is not going to have a Facebook or an Instagram. And even if they do, you might not know who it is.
Yeah. So probably not going to say CEO.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, oh, I'm the CEO. I mean, we know the CEO of Amazon, right? But like, you're not going to be like, oh, what's the CEO of Henry Schein, a multi-million-dollar business out on Long Island, right? Like, this is just, I keep using Long Island because I work from home and I don't go out anywhere in North Carolina yet. I'm still working on that. So it's just, it's like crazy, but LinkedIn now opens that door. So maybe they didn't have like a staff page or an about us page where you can go and target these business owners. It was really like you're shooting by the wayside here, hoping that you got in touch with the right person. And I think with LinkedIn being able to know exactly who you're talking to, targeting it, people update it regularly. I mean, there's data that argues that LinkedIn is the most accurate and up-to-date base of professionals out there on the internet, better than Google, better than any other platform, because people voluntarily go in and be like, oh, well, I got another degree. Let me put that on here. I got this job. I got a role change, my responsibilities change. Let me go put that on there. So I think that's really where I love LinkedIn. It really just allows you to get like a sniper's look on who you're trying to get in front of.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I know I'm super active on LinkedIn, and I add people all the time on LinkedIn that I know, and they're all super active as well. So yeah, I agree with that 100%.
It's a great platform.
Yeah. So what is your strategy used to market yourself on LinkedIn?
So back in the day, I used to use LinkedIn like a madman. I think LinkedIn was, I would argue LinkedIn was probably the best platform to grow your business. I killed it for my old company.
Amazing.
So I was constantly bringing in new clients. You were able to target, you know, I think, and people that are like, well, I just want to use LinkedIn. You can't just use LinkedIn. You have to have, you know, like, I don't want to say like some serial killer hit list sheet here, but like you need to have a list of companies that you know are good prospects. You're not going to find a company on LinkedIn that's going to be a good prospect. You need to know your prospects, and then you need to use LinkedIn as a valuable tool to go in and target those people. So
that's a really good point.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of structured direction of where you're going to go. So for this, it was, you know, I would have like a hit list of all these companies that I wanted to do business with. Mm-hmm. I would always make sure I kind of had a way in. So when I said a way in, either I knew somebody or I had a relationship with somebody there, just so I could leverage a name. And I always made sure that every time I had a positive interaction with anybody in the business world, I always made sure that I connected with them on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And just not even something like a follow-up email, but maybe even a text that was just like, hey, it was really great meeting you last night, or whatever it was, if I was out networking. I really took building relationships very seriously. And it's paid off for more than I would ever even imagine. And then I would have the access to LinkedIn. So somebody would be like, oh, you know, like, look, hey, I know my company needs this, right? Whether it was digital marketing or it was IT services, but I'm not high enough up in the company to just refer you in, right? Like, and that's a real thing. Like, people aren't always that senior level or that executive suite person who Definitely. Can just be like, hey, I have a guy, let's bring him in. But having that connection, okay, great. Now I can see, now I know who's inside the company. Do I know anybody else inside the company who I didn't add on LinkedIn? Who are the main roles inside the company? And then I would go into LinkedIn and then start to leverage and pick out, okay, great. If I was to have a conversation with this person, this is really where it goes in like serial killer mode, and we're not killing anybody, but like, you really have to, if you use LinkedIn, it is such a valuable tool if you use it correctly. What common interests do we have, right? Now that you know who the CEO is, go find him on Facebook. You don't have to add him, but maybe he has pictures shared. Maybe he has a personal Instagram that you didn't even know he had, right? So you can start
to go down. Or maybe he's done speaking engagements that you can look in and see what the topics he's been talking about.
Yep. Is he in the news? Where is he online?
Yeah.
And so then that's really how like I would leverage it, and I'd build this mental portfolio of this person. I'd reach out to them, and then when they reach out back to me, I already had a good idea of like the kind of person they are, who they hang out with, where they probably live, what their interests are, what, you know, I really build like a whole portfolio on this person. So that way, either I can position myself to meet with that person, or I would go start spending, because in the IT world, every client is worth an exorbitant amount of money. I would start spending time in the areas that I would figure out he hung out in. So if I knew somebody that knew that person, I'd be like, hey, do you know when this person or so-and-so goes to this bar or this restaurant or hangs out there? Who is this person meeting, or where are they getting breakfast, right? And I would go find those interactions. And it's not like I'm sitting there stalking the person. I'm going and finding those networking events, going and finding those business happy hours, whatever it may be. Gotcha. And that's really how I used it. And I got in front of so many people. I already know who they were, what they did, who their executive suites are. Mm-hmm. So that way, when I had a conversation with them, it was more organic and I didn't have to remember details in that moment. I could always just say, oh, you know what? I already have a portfolio of who they are. Now it's me genuinely being interested in that person. Mm-hmm. And that was where LinkedIn just shined so much for us.
That's so interesting. And I imagine having a really strong follow-up game, like making sure you're putting everyone into your CRM, setting those reminders to be following up on a regular basis is really important as well.
Yeah, CRMs are huge. CRMs I would use, you know, we had a CRM. It was definitely not the best CRM as far as growing a business in the IT space, but I would use, you know, my phone. I would use the, you know, Apple calendars, whatever it took to really, and I would only go after, you know, so many people are so worried about like, let me prospect everybody. Like, go pick 4, 5, 6 different people and just go start tackling those people. Mm-hmm. And just go for big fish, right? Like, if you're going to spend all this time building a portfolio of this person and really trying to figure out how this person thinks and works, and go after the person that's going to spend with your company, you know, a large amount of money. I'm using that because it's very different for every company, but those are so much easier to do than being like, well, I need, I don't know, let's just say one $10,000 a month client versus 10 $1,000 a month clients. You're never going to use LinkedIn appropriately there because you're constantly going to be burning yourself out trying to find a million people that you can do business with.
I agree. Now, do you ever do, you know, cold outreach on LinkedIn? You know, maybe where you don't necessarily have that in of someone that you know.
Yes.
Is that something you do?
It is something I did. It definitely used to work better prior pandemic. It was, I think the pandemic, I love LinkedIn. It has been overrun by bots for to some degree. There are so many automated platforms out there, and I'm not hating on it. But I feel like a lot of people's, if you still use LinkedIn correctly, where you're going out, you're doing your homework, you're researching these people, you're reading their profile, right? And sending them a valuable message. I think it's still very easy to get in front of your target audience. But I would definitely say that people are more picky than ever just because there's other bots on the platform that are just sending out, and I've written about this and I've had to test these on my personal blog, but it's crazy. Like the amount, like imagine being able to send 150 messages out or 100 messages out every single day and you didn't even have to turn on LinkedIn. And then you only answer when somebody else answers you. So if you're out walking your dog, oh, I got a message request for something I never had to do work for. But after going through all those, I've realized they don't work. There's just no substitute for real organic outreach. You looked at that person's profile, you maybe found them, you know, Googled their name, and you send them a really valuable message with accurate details. There's no substitute, and that always works.
Yeah, I think everyone has had that instance where, you know, you get that friend request and then you instantly get just hit with a sales pitch. And it's just annoying, right? No one appreciates that. So have you found any strategies? I know I've heard that video is a great way to, you know, really a customized video is a good way to kind of stand apart from the noise. Is that something that you've ever tried?
Yeah. So I think video works really, really well. I used to do a good bit of video on LinkedIn. I've kind of started pulling away from video just because I've been using the platform so much. I've been making quite a bit of content for YouTube. The mm-hmm. one thing that they've rolled out more so during the pandemic and right before the pandemic was your posts would still get a good amount of reach, even if they contained an outside source. So mm-hmm. if you posted on YouTube and you shared that YouTube link, your old post would probably still reach just about as many people as it would, you know, if it was posted straight to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn had so many, I think that they, you know, after Microsoft bought it, they didn't touch it for years. And there were so many restrictions, like you couldn't post more than a 10 minute video. You couldn't post if it was too big. The list goes on and on, and you can only post like 6 pictures or 7 pictures. I know that they've mm-hmm. increased it now slightly, but it's still very limited. But a lot of my YouTube videos or a lot of my content in general, I'm a long form content kind of person. My podcast is anywhere between an hour and a half to 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a long show. Not all of them go to 3 hours, but every once in a while I get the guest that wants to go for 3 hours, and I'm more than happy with it. I account for 3 hours per person. And it was, you know, most of my YouTube videos were 11 and a half minutes. So I couldn't even use the content I was making. And to go back and there's, you know, you could always go, yes, I know I could break it down, but it was just so much more effective for me to go do that. I'm already taking time out of my day to go create content. I still have to go work, especially when I was a solopreneur, and then I'd have to go work on, you know, my client stuff. So I couldn't sit there and spend time breaking down a video into bite-sized pieces. I just did not physically have the time. And yeah. I didn't have a budget to go hire somebody to do it. So it was like, all right, where could I get the most bang for my buck as far as my time goes? YouTube, here it is. Now I think they've increased the time limit to, I think, 15 or 20 minutes on LinkedIn. I don't remember 100% now. But mm-hmm. now it's a little more advantageous. But now, it's so funny because like, I'm like, subscribe on YouTube. And they're watching it on LinkedIn. So it's a little strange there.
Yeah. Okay. And then have you ever tried making, you know, like a custom video, like maybe just recording your screen using Loom or something like that. And you're on your client's website and you're just like sending them a little custom video like that for cold outreach?
So not for prospecting. I definitely could for prospecting. I think it's something that I would be very open to now. There mm-hmm. was a time during the, I just used the pandemic because it's been going on for a while now, but there was a time during the pandemic when LinkedIn was overrun by bots. It was, you know, especially in the beginning parts, I would say probably June, July, August of 2019 was when it was like out of control. And I, like I said, I spent a lot of time on the platform where you couldn't go a day without getting tons of messages. If you, God forbid, you connected with somebody, right, you immediately get that sales pitch. It became unpleasant to be on. And I didn't even have a high profile account, right? Like, there's definitely other people out there that have multi-million dollar businesses who have thousands and thousands and thousands of connections. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how many connection requests that they're getting, that even if I took the time, I did. I mean, I tested. I reached out to so many people organically and got no answers. And I said, you know what? We're going to put this on the back burner for a little bit until they figured it out. And they did. They started cracking down heavily on these platforms, and I'm glad they did.
Interesting. And then do you do paid advertising on LinkedIn at all?
I've done it a little bit. It's very expensive. For the right person, it is fantastic. I would highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. But it is drastically more expensive than Google and significantly more expensive than Facebook.
Yeah.
As far as like your impression, because they understand that you can get in front of that key executive who can make a 100,000 or, you know, a large deal happen for you. And because of that, they know that they can charge a massive premium to start it up. And last time I used the advertising platform, it was okay. I know that they're constantly working on it. They've gotten better at it. And I'm glad to say they're testing things. They're testing stories. They're testing, find people close to you, right? Like I've literally used that at a networking event. It's very cool. So I'm glad that they started to use a lot of these things, but I also wish that they'd be a little more progressive as far as like, hey, if you want to go live on LinkedIn, you don't need to apply to go live on LinkedIn. I think that that's crazy to me that you'd have to do that. So there are some things that I still think that they're working out as far as kinks, but I think overall they've made a massive change to everything. And I think that their advertising platform is just going to follow. So it may have already, I just haven't advertised on there lately, but it has to be better than what it was. And I'm beyond excited about it.
That's awesome. And then what are some lessons you've learned from marketing and networking on LinkedIn?
Yeah. Don't tell people, just get on a Zoom. Get on a Zoom, let that person figure out who you are and present yourself in the best possible way. If that person sniffs a sales call, I can almost promise you that it's going to go one of two ways. Either one, they're not even going to get on the call, or two, they're going to get on the call and it's just going to be a very awkward interaction. Mm-hmm. It's really not worth it. Otherwise, it's a fantastic way to just go meet people, get on a Zoom call, you know, if you can get them on a Zoom call, or at least start exchanging emails, right? Hey, what's your email? Would love to send you something. I know it's not salesy, but I was just, you know, a lot of times I actually tell people, hey, I included your stuff in my YouTube video, right? Like, I don't know who these people are, but if I'm doing like a website critique or a website breakdown or going over stats or analytics, it's a phenomenal way to just be like, hey, by the way, I included your web. And I mean, obviously I set this up prior, but like, hey, your website, I critique your website in my YouTube video. Just want to let you know and give you a little notice as it's going out now. So let's send me the link. That always gets a lot of responses. Oh my God, thank you so much. Hey, I don't really have anybody to make those changes. It's weirdly easy when you do it in a non-salesy way, right? Like I was making that YouTube video no matter what. I needed content to create, you know, and I needed a subject to create on. So why wouldn't I use a target market or target audience or target person as the person I'm going to use in the video than Joe Schmo, who I've never heard of before?
Yeah, I think that's really smart. And yeah, you're offering them a ton of value. So you're opening with that. So yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And then, so what are some mistakes that you found that other digital marketers are making when it comes to marketing themselves on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that I see as a massive mistake is there's not enough value. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, they just go right for the sale, and I don't blame them. Like, who wouldn't want more sales? But you're never going to, you know, if you meet somebody at the bar, right, or out wherever people hang out at this point, you have to... You would want somebody to treat you just how you would want to be treated, right? So don't just ram your sale down their throat, right? Even, I mean, I give a lot of credit to the car industry. Even car salespeople are starting to realize, like, they need to change their whole attitude as far as what they're willing to do, how they're willing to do it, what they're willing to get involved in, and really just making a better overall experience for that buyer, because people don't want to just feel like they're being sold all the time.
Yeah, and it's true.
You know, provide value. Hey, you know what? Like, it is super easy to send a Zoom link or a Loom link or connect with them. Mm-hmm. Make a story, and stories are hard because I know a lot of people don't use it. And it's not available on desktop, which is one of my gripes with LinkedIn. Like, think a little more forward here, please. but there's so many ways that you can provide crazy value long before you ever speak to that person. So if you write articles, publish a couple articles, right? You know, or publish an article on LinkedIn, change it up, publish an article on LinkedIn. I publish an article probably 2 or 3 times a year on LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. it's so easy to just get in front of people. You connect with your ideal person, and all you have to do is just share that article out. Maybe you tag them or just say, hey, I wrote this article. Maybe you'd find some value. Would love, you know, would really appreciate your feedback on it.
Yep.
Leave it super vague and let them do the sales on their own side. Oh, wow. He can do this and he can do this. And how can this person, you know, how can this person provide value for me? Those are really where I think the people that are going to succeed live on the platform and what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. And when you consistently add value to someone at some point, you know, you're just constantly getting in front of them. You're constantly getting in their good books. Eventually they're going to be responsive, I think.
I've literally had people beg to spend money with us because they just saw all the content. It just, you know, you don't, the crazy part is, like, so many people are so obsessed with vanity metrics. Oh, well, it only got this many views, or it only got this many subscribers, or it only got this many followers, you know, or nobody really left any comments on it. They're so worried about those vanity metrics. All those people are never going to buy, right? But if you can get one person to buy, so by you taking the time out to create something that is super valuable to one person, you know, thousands of people are going to end up reading it or watching it or consuming it. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize they're so focused on, like, well, how do I get in front of more people? How do, you know, met more people. Think about that one person that you just connected with. You did all your homework. You found the person. You found the CEO. You connected with them. LinkedIn, if you know the algorithm, they always show out your content to the most recent connections and your most engaged connections. So by you creating a piece of content towards that person, they're going to see it. So just go do that, and people will naturally flock to you, want to spend money with you. And then it's totally open for success at that point.
That's awesome. So many great tips. I love it. And then, so how often do you follow up with your prospects on LinkedIn?
So if I'm prospecting on LinkedIn, every couple of days. So I know that not everybody's glued to their computer. I also take into consideration how often they are responding. So if they're not responding quick enough, or I'm looking for a faster interaction, I have no problem asking for an email and just saying, hey, would love to stay connected with you or stay in touch. Do you mind, you know, what's your email address? I promise I won't put you on my newsletter so you get a million emails here, but just want to add you to, you know, somebody that I'd like to keep in contact with on a personal basis. That works really, really well. So if they're not answering LinkedIn messages, just grab their email address, right? Or
that's awesome.
Most of the time people have it in their about section. Go grab it. Tell them how you found it. Hey, you know, so-and-so, I found your, you know, I just took your email down here. I would love to stay in touch. And, you know, here's my cell phone number. Feel free to, you know, give me a call. And if you're located near them, ask them to get a cup of coffee. You know, what's the worst that they say? No, right? Like,
yeah.
If you've been nice to somebody, you've provided value the whole time to somebody, right? I'm a freak. I use HubSpot, and I make sure that every email I send out is tracked. There's a lawyer on Long Island who still opens an email that I sent him 2 years ago, giving him a free breakdown of his website just because he was a good friend of mine. I'm like, hey, just so you know, I went ahead. I just did like a free analysis on your website here. I just wanted to see like where you're at. I know that you had spoken about marketing and stuff like that. You know, no sales pitch. Like, hey, you know, if you have any questions, by all means, I'm happy to hop on a, you know, free 30-minute call with you. Mm-hmm. And it's been 2 years. He's still, 3 years. He still opens the email every probably 6 months.
That's
and he's
incredible.
Looking at changes and you know, what is he using them for? I don't quite know. Maybe he's comparing, you know, old analytics to new analytics. Mm-hmm. But either way, he's seeing my name as the person that provided that value. And that to me, it'll pay off eventually. I'm the most patient person ever. It'll happen. I'm just wait, you know, you just gotta wait for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Such a great strategy. So where do you see growth generators in 5 years' time?
Yeah, so I would definitely say that we will be breaking the seven and hopefully eight figure realm. Right now, we've toned down the amount of sales that we're looking to make, as crazy as it sounds. We're spending an exorbitant amount of time, energy, and resources on building content that is going to work for us for the next handful of years. So just really, even probably into next year, I don't say we're not actively looking for clients, but we really aren't. We're not trying to grow all that fast. It's all about content for us. So we never have to sit here and worry about, you know, where's our next sale coming from? And we're a big proponent of practice what you preach. I see a lot of marketing companies out there who claim they do a lot of stuff and they really don't. And how they grow their business, I don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. But I always find it comical when there's a marketing company out there that says like, oh, we do SEO. And you look at their blogs and they posted one blog last year. Right. And you're like, well, we're almost done with this year. Like, you got to add a little more content there.
Yeah.
So it's always funny. I'm a big proponent in practice what you preach. I'm a big fan of YouTube and really just providing crazy value. And it's starting to really pay off, especially with the rebrand. The rebrand, like I said, miserable process. Get it done as early as possible if you're thinking about it. But once you do, let Google start to soak up your content and just keep being the most valuable resource out there. If somebody has a question, just dominate Google and YouTube. It's, you know, I know it sounds easy. It's not that easy, but you'd be so surprised how much you'll succeed by just providing value and letting the algorithms do the heavy lifting for you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's it sounds like you've got some really exciting things in the works. So I'm excited for you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, what is a book that I have read that hasn't made an impact on me is the appropriate question. I read a lot. I used to read significantly more. Now that I don't drive, I don't have Audible.
Same.
But I am doing a road trip actually next week up to New York, so I'm excited to crush a couple books. Mm-hmm. I would say some of the books that would be the most impactful, because there's probably not one, is, and this goes for where you're at in life, but if you don't know like where you're at or like what you should be doing, go read The Alchemist. Arguably, in my opinion, out of the, I don't know, 50 or 100 books that I've read, the best for trying to figure out who you are. If you are looking to do sales and marketing and growing a business, Grant Cardone's The 10X Rule and Oren Claff, Pitch Anything, are fantastic resources just for like boosting your motivation and self-confidence. I think that they are worth their weight in gold. And then if you're looking for, you know, there's just so many books out there, like go start researching them. Before I started my business, it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was probably the last book I've ever read cover to cover physically. But I have a whole, I'm actually pulling up my Audible list here because I live and breathe by this thing. 6 to 7 Figures, great book. Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. I think a lot of people too are so caught up with what books can they read for business purposes. And it shouldn't just be that. You should be reading to just open your mind and hear other people's perspectives. And I think that's where the value is. So Green Lights, Tools of Titans, The 4-Hour Workweek are all fantastic books to read.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just finished the 10X Rule. And it's so...
It's fired up.
Yeah, you just get to work after you read that book.
I would definitely suggest that's a great book for anybody who wants to get fired up. But plan, don't do it when you're going on vacation. Do it when you're coming back from vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You will not enjoy your vacation.
You'll only think about work for the next week or two. And I read that book probably once every 6 months, just as a refresher of like getting fired up.
Yeah. And if you follow Grant Cardone as well, you will get his constant motivation as well.
Yep. Yep. Great motivator.
Yeah, totally. What does your morning routine look like?
It's probably the most boring routine ever. I wake up when I want to wake up. I'm a night owl, so I don't have, you know, for the people that are like rituals of like, wake up, drink a cup of coffee, run a mile naked. Like, I'm not that kind of person. No, I wake up when I want to wake up. Unless I have something to do that morning. I don't wake up late. I wake up between nine, you know, or eight and nine in the morning for the most part, unless I'm up really late working on something the night before. Mm-hmm. And then I wake up, cup of coffee, shower, get ready. If I have time or if I think about it, I'll meditate. I'm starting to get back into meditation. I think it's really, really important.
Oh, cool.
I actually just listened to a really, really good podcast too on Joe Rogan's podcast, with a neurologist talking about meditation, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
So I'll be diving back into meditation, but I used to meditate every morning for 10 mm-hmm. to 15 minutes to get your mind right. And then, let the dogs out and get ready to work and just kind of just figure out what I'm going to have fun with that day.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's not. I don't particularly, I like CEOs. I follow people more than CEOs. I think, you know, if that person's going to provide crazy value to me, then I'm more than happy to follow them. I like Simon Sinek. I think he's really, really good as far as somebody to follow. Mm-hmm. Obviously Grant Cardone. But I think a lot of these, you know, the more popular CEOs that people know of are very polished, and I'm not somebody that's like, hey, let me go, you know, snoop around these people's lives. Unless they're, if they're producing content, fantastic. There's mm-hmm. a lot of industry specific people that I like to follow. But otherwise, no, there's not really one specific, you know, CEO where I'm like, hey, love his content. Can't wait to read it every week.
Okay. And then what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online, there's a lot of favorite online tools.
There's so many.
I would say YouTube.
Okay.
There is a limitless amount of information that you can use on YouTube. I recommend, you know, if you're stuck, just YouTube it, right? Like yeah. somebody out there is willing to, and I think YouTube's drastically underutilized, especially for newer entrepreneurs. It's, there's so many people out, even if you're looking to hire somebody, go on YouTube, right? Like mm-hmm. go look at what role you're looking to hire. I'm hiring a videographer right now or a video editor right now. How to hire a video editor, right? Like I learned how to hire a video editor. I had no idea what I should do. I'm like, do I ask them to take an assessment? Do I not ask them to take an assessment? Do I ask them to do a free edit? Right. Like, and it turns out I was right. Like, yeah, you're supposed to ask them for a very, you know, you give them like a 15-minute homework assignment and ask them to edit something for you. So, you know, use YouTube. There's so many people out there. If you're looking to hire somebody, there's people out there that have a couple hundred subscribers that can't afford or don't really have a business, but they just create content regularly to add value. That's who you want to add to your company here. It's not anything else. So I would say definitely LinkedIn, YouTube first as number one. And then number two is, I don't know what my number two tool would be. It's a program, SEMrush. I don't know. Only digital yeah. marketers would know that. Mm-hmm. Love SEMrush. Go utilize it. Go test that. I mean, but that's like an industry type of thing. To see where people are at as far as their digital marketing presence. But I love SEMrush. And then my third tool is Google Analytics. I love Google Analytics.
Perfect. Yeah. All great tools. That's amazing. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Make more content earlier on. Okay. I really wish I knew how valuable content was, but I only knew about it. I really didn't like understand how crazy powerful good content actually is. So that would be the only thing. If there's one thing that I wish I could go back and change, it would have been starting with, and I was creating content through my podcast, but I wasn't creating specific content towards my target audience. So it would be creating content and knowing who my audience is that I really want to go after. I really wish I thought about that way before I started a business. And that would be, I don't want to say my only regret because it's not really a regret, but if I can give anybody an idea, figure out your target market first and then go create a ton of content for those people.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Harrison, to talk about marketing on LinkedIn. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.